Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are commemorating the passing of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, the magnanimous and esteemed Imam Khomeini, who was the founding father of the Islamic Republic of Iran and was also the founding father of the Islamic Revolution. In order to talk a little bit about this great personality of Imam Khomeini, we are honored and humbled to be at the service of Sayyid Hashimi from the Islamic Republic of Iran, who will discuss the great personality of Imam Khomeini. So let's go ahead and invite him to the talk show. Sayyid Hashimi, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
barakatuh. And I say salam to all the viewers of us.
Thank you, Sayyid Hashimi, again for accepting our, you know, humble invitation to come and speak with us on this occasion of the passing of Imam Khomeini, this great personality, who is a personality which was a turning point in history, especially when you look at it from the lens of the Islamic Revolution that occurred in Iran, and the creation of the Islamic Republic as well. So along these lines, in commemoration of the passing of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, we really wanted to talk a little bit about his personality, and so we invited you to, you know, just give us some insight into this beautiful personality of Imam Khomeini. And with that, bismillah.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you, first of all, for having me on this show. I think for the introduction to our discussion, I think because we were born in the time after the Islamic Revolution.
Yes.
And we saw and we've been raised in the time of the Islamic Revolution, even, you know, it doesn't matter whether you live in Iran or other places of the world. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it became so easy to talk about Imam Khomeini.
Yes.
He was a great person, a great personality. He is, as you said, the founder, father of the Islamic Revolution, and he could beat all the, you know, great powers, you know.
So superpowers.
Yes, superpowers. Yeah. But if you look, and if you had this experience to live before the age of Imam Khomeini, before the Islamic Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It would be so hard to imagine such a personality.
Wow. You know? Right.
You
right.
See, in the, like, you know, regarding the Shia Muslims, in Iran, in Iraq, in Lebanon, no one had this hope, okay, to change or to make a very tiny change in its in their societies.
Right.
Not right. Changing the course of the history.
Right, right.
Because after the colonialism, after all those corrupted governments in the Islamic countries, it was so hard even to breathe
as of course.
A Muslim.
Right. Yes.
Yes, let alone having a yeah. government or having a Islamic system. So to understand Imam Khomeini, we have to keep that in mind, that how was the past and the time prior to the Islamic revolution. I think we have to keep that in mind. And if we look at that time and that period of time, we will somehow understand the greatness of what Imam Khomeini did for us.
Right.
But another problem is...
Are you going to yeah. talk a little bit about this kind of pre-Imam Khomeini era? Because I think it's, yes. like you said, it's important.
Yes,
this colonialism
important. Yeah.
and yeah. the cultural aspects and how Islam, you know, was really weakened to a point where it had no role. But yeah, no, I'll wait yes. for you to get into that yes. discussion then.
You know, Imam Khomeini, there is a book, I think, maybe it was translated in English, I think, Sahifei Imam. It's mm-hmm. all the sayings and the yes. writings of Imam Khomeini, including all of the his speeches and letters and everything since the, I think, the beginning of the Islamic movement,
right?
15
right.
years before the Islamic Revolution. In there, on many occasions, mm-hmm. Imam Khomeini says that and says to the ulama and the Muslimin mm-hmm. that they convinced us, the Western powers and those people with the Western ideas and minds, they convinced us that Islam is confined to your personal and individual affairs.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the society, with the politics, with the economy, right. so on and so
right.
forth.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, Sayyid. If you look at that time, it was taken as a very obvious idea.
True.
But yes, Islam is dead.
Very individualistic. And this was
religion.
A common idea among the people. Right.
And what you're going to do, with, you know, after the modernism and after all those philosophies and ideas in politics and economy, in foreign affairs and everything. So does Islam have anything to say here?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
No.
This is what the people used to say.
Yes, yeah. They wanted to say, they tried to say, yes, there is something that you can make your life better with Islam. But if you wanted to claim that Islam can take the control of a society, it was a very bold statement and wouldn't be accepted very easily.
Right.
Imam Khomeini, on many occasions, he would say, this is the idea that was put in our minds by who? By colonialists, by all those people who occupied our lands. And you know, so the challenge of Imam Khomeini was this cultural challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge of Imam Khomeini and all those people who wanted to reform the face and the appearance of the society was not great powers, great political or powers or the military powers, no.
Right.
This culture, this mindset of people, even some great scholars, it was the biggest obstacle. Because the moment you wanted to apprise and say something, they would say, what are you doing now?
Yeah, sit back down and be quiet.
Sit back down, yeah. Islam doesn't have anything to do with these things. So Imam Khomeini started this movement not just by talking against Shah, but also with talking to the scholars and ulama and people and tell them that Islam is able and capable of changing your life and giving you a new worldview, a new, you know, picture for the life.
Right. Sayyid Hashimi, here, I mean, you just kind of showed us this very large scope of what Imam Khomeini, you know, had to deal with. So he has to deal with the religious scholars who have this idea that Islam is very individualistic, and if it has a role to play in other things, well, now's not the time to talk about that. Then he has to deal with the common Muslims, right, on this huge level. And so the ulama and the religious scholars at least have some religious training. The common people, they really don't know all these. Mm-hmm. Now he has to teach and form their minds as well. And then he has to face this internal, you know, Taghuti power, this internal oppressive tyrant by the name of Shah. And he has to deal with the superpowers of the world who wants to. It's really, subhanAllah, a miraculous personality.
It was exactly, I think, you know, the example of this job that Imam Khomeini did was exactly like what his father, Rasulullah, did in the time when he confronted the great, you know, powers of Mecca. Mm-hmm. Because this was the same. You know, there were the scholars and great people of the Judaism and Christianity. And in the same time, you know, superpowers, as you said, in Mecca, Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, and people like them. Yeah. And ordinary people, laymen, ordinary people. And it was so hard because when you wanted to say La ilaha illallah, the cost of La ilaha illallah for Abu Jahl was what?
Right. Was everything
to resign from everything, yes.
He had all the wealth, position, power.
Yes, equality with Bilal, with all those slaves in the Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So Imam Khomeini understood that. So his movement was at first a cultural movement.
Interesting.
Ideological movement. Mm-hmm. So he started to talk to his students, to his scholars, even to the government in that time, and to all the Islamic states and Islamic societies.
Yes.
Telling them that this is not the real situation that you have to be in. Mm-hmm. Like, because in the time Israel was founded, in the time they could take over and occupy many of the other lands from Syria, from Jordan, from Egypt, okay? And in that time, Imam Khomeini was warning them.
Sure.
That, yes, I'm talking about the hereafter, the Day of Judgment, and you will be doomed to go to the hell by this kind of mindset and these activities. But I'm talking about this dunya.
Yes.
I'm not just talking about the Day of Judgment. Even in this dunya, you will get nothing.
Right.
So Islam that Khomeini is talking about, is not just a Islam that gives you the akhirah. No, I'm giving you the dunya. The Islam that cannot give you this dunya, it doesn't mean that you have to have this attraction of dunya. No. Islam as the haq, as the true ideology, have to be the real ruler.
Yes.
And must be in charge even in this dunya.
Yes.
Even in this worldly life. Okay. The Islam that you are describing and you are promoting, that Islam is about the akhirah and is not about the dunya. He would say this kind of description of Islam, this is just in the service of the Western powers.
Yeah, so Sayyid Hashmi, it's interesting. I know that perhaps you have other aspects about Imam Khomeini's personality, but I think that this discussion that we're having now is really something, because there's a lot of various, you know, doors or bobs that open up, right? Especially for me, as I think about these things, as you know, you are, as you speak. So how dangerous these different ideas are. So we've already talked about two ideas, which was part of this cultural revolution brought about by Imam Khomeini, against these two ideas. One was this idea that Islam is individualistic. It deals with only yourself, you know, and it doesn't deal with the society or the jama'a or the politics or international affairs. And then the second idea here that what I'm understanding is this idea that Islam is only spiritual, it's only ma'anawiyah, it only deals with the hereafter, kind of going towards a very Sufi, you know, type school of thought, and don't get involved in any, you know, be poor, everybody should be poor, everybody should be uneducated, and just, you know, these are two very dangerous ideas, and I kind of want to discuss that. So the first one, you know, what are the consequences of an individual who believes that Islam is individualistic, it just deals with me and nothing else. I mean, what are the consequences of this?
The first thing is,
in the school of thought of Imam Khomeini, of
course. The first thing is, it opposes Quran.
Interesting, you know? Yes.
The very teaching of Rasulullah in Quran was not about the individuals.
Right.
You know, if Rasulullah wanted to talk to the individual, just Ammar, come here, Yasir, come here, Miqdad, you come here, just Amir al-Mu'mineen, you come here, I will talk to you. Okay? If it was the job of Rasulullah, why would Abu Jahl and Abu Sufyan stand against him?
Right. If he's only dealing with one individual.
Even Jewish people would do that in that time.
Yeah.
Christians would do that in that time. It was okay. Rasulullah could, you know, prepare a place outside of Mecca, like as we call Khanaqah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In that place, he could, you know, train his best, you know, companions and best students, and they would, you know, take the path of this spiritual journey. But it wasn't what Rasulullah did.
Subhanallah.
Because in the very beginning slogan and emblem of Islam, which is La ilaha illallah, in that time, when Rasulullah was saying La ilaha illallah, what was the understanding of Bilal?
Mm-hmm.
Who is my Allah? Who is my master?
Right.
My master is not this person, it's Allah.
Right.
You cannot instruct me. You cannot order whatever you want.
Right.
Okay? So it would reform the situation of that society.
Right.
And it was why Rasulullah, when he, after that three hidden period of time of invitation, after that, then they loudly and openly talked about Islam, and they went to the place of the Kaaba. In that time, Rasulullah was telling everyone that this slogan, La ilaha illallah, is going to end any kind of polytheism. Anything, any human being or any idol or any idea against the idea and against the teaching of Allah.
Right.
So it was Rasulullah. And after that, it became more obvious. After 13 years in Mecca, Rasulullah immigrated to
Medina.
And in Medina, he started to establish a government, and he defended the borders of that government, and he started to teach people about the economy, about the politics. He wrote letters to the Persian Empire, to the Roman Empire. Okay.
This is international affairs.
Yes, it was an international invitation.
And this is a societal movement.
Yes. Why? Because Rasulullah, as Imam Khamenei says in this book, Tarha Kulli and Shi Islami, Rasulullah and other prophets, all of them, they wanted this society. Because in this society, we had hope. that some great people like Ammar and like Salman and like Amir al-Mu'mineen would grow.
Right.
If you just confine your invitation to, as you said, an individualistic approach, yes, you would have 1, 2, 3, 4 persons, but not
society.
More than, yes, yeah, near 2 billion Muslims.
And the ultimate purpose of Islam is to take all of society towards prosperity,
yes,
and rifah and these things. It's not just for one individual, but all of society.
Yes. And Islam, you know, this is interesting. Islam says that without me, you will not have a fair and free society.
Right.
It's just your hallucination that you can reach the justice and freedom without Islam. Right. Even until now, look at our world. This is the 21st century.
Yeah, 21st
After
century.
After all those things, look at Africa. Look at South America. Look at Middle East. Okay? Look how much discrimination and subjugation even exist in this kind of world.
Look at even Yemen. Even look go at to, to this, the Western
this,
world as well.
This is right? what this is what was brought by what? By the modern ideas.
Yes.
Modern ideas which is based on the materialistic teachings.
Right.
So Islam says that if Islam, you know, sits in the driving seat in the society and starts to train people, it will be the consequence and the result of this will be a fair and just and free society. I know. Maybe when we say that, some people think that, okay, this is just a claim.
Yeah.
Who said that it will happen? Okay? Yeah. But if you look at the time of Rasulullah, time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and if you look at the teachings of Islam, and if you look at the teaching of Al-Mahdaviyya that we believe in, you see that this is the promise of Islam.
Right.
So this was the first challenge of Imam Khomeini, as you mentioned.
Right.
And you know, Sayyid, it's very interesting. This kind of conception that Islam is just about the
personal
affairs of a person. This idea was an imported idea from the modern age. Because after they could, you know, convince people that the Christian church and the Pope is not the center of everything and should not be in charge for everything, they said, okay, we accept Christianity. We have no problem with that. But it must be, limited to your homes. In the corners of your houses and your churches, it's okay. Say whatever you want to say. But if it comes to the social affairs, no. In the social affairs, you have to depend on your mind, on your intellect.
Right.
Okay? So even the scholars, this is what Imam Khomeini says. The Imam Khomeini says that this, just be careful. This idea that you believe in, it's not even, you know, the root of this idea.
It's not Islamic.
It's not Islamic, and it's not even an Eastern idea. It was imported.
It's not even from this side of the world. Yeah.
So they are here. They are stealing our oil. They are stealing our soil, our people.
Right,
okay.
Right.
And in the same time, they are stealing our mind. And you know, all those great leaders of the, all those freedom seekers. Yeah. No. I mean the leaders of this of the Eastern countries like the Gandhi or others.
Okay. Yeah.
When
sure.
they wanted to make some change in their society, I think. They understood that the beginning of this change must start with what? With the minds of people. And this is what Imam Khomeini did, according to Islam.
Yes.
With the minds of people. As long as you believe that this is real, this is your destination, this is your fate, and Islam hasn't to do anything with the social affairs, and we have to wait for Imam al-Mahdi to come.
Right.
As long as you believe in such a theory, this must be your situation.
Right, you because it's interesting, because one of the things that you very nicely pointed out was this idea that it's an imported ideology and it really favors colonial powers, right? And I wanted to talk about, and this is why we opened it up, because for example, it is very easy to put down 100 individuals that are separate and disconnected from each other.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to put down 100 of these that come together.
Yeah.
You see? And so it does work in the favor of the colonial powers and subjugation and you know, the looting of the countries. Is listen, do not bring Islam and Islamic values to the forefront, you know, because it creates power. It creates this unity. It creates strength. You know, so yeah, please.
Yes.
Please.
This is why Imam Khomeini says that they've got no problem with our adhan.
Yeah, they have no problem.
Our prayer, our fasting.
As even long as reading of the Quran.
Yes, it's harmless. As long as it's harmless, it's okay for them. Let them be busy with their prayer and fasting. But if you look at Rasulullah,
right?
You know, again, we have in this book of Imam Khomeini, Insanity 250 Saleh.
Yes.
He says that why would Ahlul Bayt been killed by the
the governments,
those ruthless leaders of their time? Why? If Imam Al-Kadhim was just a spiritual person in his house, okay, why would Harun put Imam Al-Kadhim in the jail for years, for decades?
Or Imam Hadi.
Or Imam Al-Hadi.
Imam Askari.
Yes, and they've been killed and martyred.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Why? Because they would say that we do not agree your government.
Right.
This is not your right. This is not, no one can rule upon people.
Yeah.
No one, except the person who has this permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right. Sayyid Hashmi, I wanted to add really quickly. It's interesting, I was speaking with one of our teachers, our ustads, and I had said that one individual, so for example Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, so he's one individual.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you have the Abbasid Khulafa governmental establishment, you know, Harun al-Rashid, which is very powerful.
Very powerful.
Right? So usually a very powerful entity is not afraid of one individual. Right? So the fact that the governmental establishment, which was so powerful, was afraid of Imam al-Kadhim means that he posed a threat to these guys.
A big threat.
A big threat.
Because they knew that if they kill Ahlul Bayt, It cost them so heavily, you know.
Right. They saw with Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Yes, what happened to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So, but they wanted to look at this cost benefit. They would say, yes, okay, let's kill them. Because if they stay alive, they would be more dangerous than they're dead.
Right.
Yeah? So, if you look at the life of Ahlul Bayt, it's like that. Because, you know, in the time of Ahlul Bayt, there were too many people who were like, you know, attracted to tasawwuf or things like that.
Right.
They had spiritual agents.
Sufi school
they had this. No one would, you know, harm them.
Right.
No one had anything to do
with
them.
And if these imams were like this, this very, you know, only ma'nawi or individualistic, only spiritual, then the governmental establishment, again, would not have a problem. It means that the imams had a societal movement.
Yes.
And they had some sort of economic movement going on at the same time. The you know, Sazaman-e-Wakala, the representative network.
Yeah.
This means that they had a system in place under the leadership of the imams, which was a danger to this.
And we have many narrations that they were ready for the Qiyam, for uprising.
Right, right.
The problem was what? People, loyal people to Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah.
Loyal people to Ahlul Bayt. And you know what is, you know, the irony is, Sayyid, Imam Khomeini, with this approach, is one of the most spiritual scholars of the entire history of the Shi'i school of thought.
Yeah, mashallah.
How can Imam Khomeini reconcile between these two things?
Right.
Imam Khomeini's response, do you know what is Imam Khomeini's response? Mm. There is no reconciliation.
It's one.
We need no reconciliation. Mashallah. It's one. In one of, in one of his comments on one of the books he has, he says that don't think that we have three ways, al-Sharia, al-Tariqa, al-Haqiqa. No, al-Sharia includes the al-Haqiqa, the truth,
right,
and the al-Tariqa, the Irfan and spirituality. Imam Khomeini would say that if you really want to take the path of spirituality, you have to rise up,
right?
You have to give your blood, you have to let your reputation be tarnished. What happened to Imam Khomeini was like that, Sayyid.
Yes.
Because Imam Khomeini could, you know, easily claim the Al-Marja'iyya and sit in his house in Qum and be one of the most famous and popular person in Iran and worldwide. It was easy for him. But he said that this is the cost, this is the price that we have to pay. Our life, our money, our reputation, okay? And this is the spirituality. This is the reality of a spirituality. This is what Imam Khomeini, this is what Imam al-Hussein sallallahu alayhi did. This is what Amir al-Mu'mineen did. This is what Rasulullah did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyid, from this point, I want to, you know, talk about an interesting topic, inshallah. Maybe one talk, we can talk about this more.
Yes. Well, Sayyid, you know what I think? I think this was because as far as time, we ran out of time a little while ago. So I'm just gonna hold you to this that because the personality of Imam Khomeini is so expansive, we're gonna invite you to another talk show where you talk about the other aspect. But I do want to, because we talked about two things. One was the individualistic idea that Islam is an individualistic religion. I want to cover the second one. And then the other aspects, inshallah, you know, we invite you to the next talk show, inshallah. But the second aspect, which is the, we kind of talked about it, but that's the consequences of saying that Islam is just a spiritualistic religion, right?
We about say Akhira.
And it's only about Akhirah, it's only about the hereafter, it has nothing to do with dunya. Even though you already answered it, but if you could please kind of a few minutes on that, yes.
It may seem a logical statement.
Right.
That yes, religion is about the Akhirah, and the human sciences is about this dunya. But the person who believes in that doesn't understand that it opposes itself.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because if you say that, we have something, some idea, some school of thought, which is just about al-akhirah. This idea doesn't understand that the means of getting that place in akhirah
very
is
nice.
This dunya.
Yeah, very well said.
This is the reality on the ground. You know, if you just leave this society, what would happen to you and your children and your relatives and your society?
Right, right.
Who takes the control? This is shaitan.
Right.
This is just two paths. The path of Allah, the path of shaitan.
Yes.
أَنْ يَعْبُدُونِي لا. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran says, do not obey shaitan. Do not worship shaitan. وَأَنْ يَعْبُدُونِي and obey me and worship me.
Yes.
هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This is this right path. Okay? So there is a path of shaitan, mm-hmm. and the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we have الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور الذين كفروا أولياءهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات.
Right.
Two
paths.
Yeah. So if you just leave this dunya to shaitan, what would happen? There will be no akhirah.
Yeah.
No akhirah.
Because the shaitani forces will take control of the affairs of the world, and then you won't be able to.
Yes.
So if
Imam Khomeini says that, or a person like him, or Islam says that you have to be careful about this dunya, you have to build this dunya, it doesn't mean that they say that the value of akhirah and dunya is the same. No, of course. Dunya is nothing in front of akhirah. But there is no other way to reach
the
highest, yes, perfection of the day of judgment. Mm-hmm. This is dunya. You have to reform the life in this dunya. Because, you know, say it, the reality is, we have many affairs in this dunya. Economic right. affairs, political affairs, you know, social affairs. Okay, we need an ideology to manage our affairs, our relationship. What is the ideology?
Right, right.
What is the ideology?
Right, Islam.
The
right.
ideology based on ignoring Islam and ignoring any spirituality, or an ideology which is based on spirituality and Islam. And if you look at Islam, you see that Islam has tons of teachings about relationship between people.
Yes.
Like we have a narration, beautiful narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Just look at this and tell me, mm-hmm. is this kind of Islam just abandon this society and in the life of dunya? Imam Sadiq says, I think it's in Tuhaf al-Uqul, الماشي إلى حاجة أخيه كالمتشحط بدمه في سبيل الله. Like you called me and you said that I have a problem. Okay.
Yeah.
Just come to me and let's fix this problem.
Yeah, help me.
Yeah. Yes, help me. Imam al-Sadiq says that the moment that you walk to go to him, you're not there. You're just walking from this place.
And you haven't done anything.
I haven't done anything. If you do so, you will be like a person who is soaked in his blood in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the meaning of that?
Yeah.
So this is how your treatment should be with your brothers in the society. In the society, man sanna sunnatan hasana, man sanna sunnatan sayya. Okay? So this dunya is so important because we're not going to get to the highest levels of spirituality in the day of judgment except we can make this dunya a tawhidi dunya.
And these taken from the teachings of Imam Khomeini.
Yes.
Rahmatullah alayhi. Sayyid Hashmi, I want to thank you for joining us on the talk show. May Allah bless you. And inshallah, we hope to see you on another talk show. And Jazakallah khair wa afiya. And dear listeners, dear viewers, thank you very much for joining us on the Islamic Pulse talk show, where we talked about this cultural revolution brought about by His Eminence Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah alayhi. This beautiful cultural revolution, which continues to this day by the grace of Allah, and of course in commemoration of the passing of Imam Khomeini. Until another talk show, that is all from us. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.